The Business Super Conference that all of you need to be at is finally here. Tickets have dropped to the original VFriends holders, but are now available to buy. I have a link in my bio for the people that have never bought an NFT but want to come because they've heard that Busta Rhymes and Deepak Chopra and Steve Bartlett and all these people are speaking. Go to vcon.co, C-O, drop the M, to see what's going on there. But the link in my bio has a site that we have on VCon that will let you fill it out and will help you get a ticket to our super conference, May 18th to the 20th in Indianapolis, Indiana. The conference is bananas. The 50 speakers I'm about to announce, bananas. This is the huge super business, pop culture, and innovation conference. I want everybody in my community to be there. So link in bio or click here because the team is using this in all sorts of formats to make sure you get to Indy in May for the super business conference of the year. I hope to see all of you there.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
And I think that's, you know, I don't think it was one piece of content. I think it was finally just like, for me, it was just like, fuck it. Like, you know, it's been long enough. And I actually, you know, if I had to say it was one thing, it's, you know, when I ask myself, you know, when you're 80, when you're 90, are you going to wish you did it or not, right?
And are you going to, whether it's your mom, your dad, your brother, a former relationship, your best friend, or just anybody, do you think at 80 or 90, you're going to be happy that you didn't do something because of their opinion? Versus not doing something that was in your stomach.
Go
ahead. This is what's good about having time.
Yeah, I've got lots of that. Speaking of that, I was surprised I even got, like, I was telling Sid about this. You know, he's like, why'd you get this one? I was like, honestly, there's a couple of reasons. You know, I wanted to help see the behind the scenes, the brand stuff. But it was a good deal. Like,
I agree.
Like, it wasn't cheap, but I can't remember exact price, but like 90 minutes plus the 5 days, I was surprised it even got so low. I wasn't planning to get this one.
I get it.
You know?
I agree. Like I'm very comfortable with, not to mention the V content, I'm really excited about this project long term, and like, there was some really interesting arbitrage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I build things for younger me. I almost think a lot of times Gary Vee is the person I wish existed for me when I was in junior high, high school. It would have really helped me. Like, I had a lot of things that took longer than they could have had I grew up in this era and had a resource like this. And then, like this, for example, oh my God, if this existed when I first started Vayner, and I could have had a 5-day thing,
yeah,
and gotten access to whomever she or he was that I admired is doing something similar, that would have been a tremendous return on my money.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, so, you know, I'm doing Web3, just content, just that, you know, I love the Web3 space. I don't know exactly, you know, I do see me, you know, coming out with a service or a product one day, but I don't know which direction, you know, DeFi, gaming, stuff like that. But I figured this is a good way just to expose myself to all of it, right? You know, actually the podcast today will be my second episode. Only for first guest, I just did the intro episode last week. You know, just letting, you know, let people know what I'm
doing. That's awesome.
So, you know, it's a big shift for me, but it's something that, yeah, when I'm 80 or 90, I'll look back and think I'll have wanted to be able to say I tried it, because while I think that I'm going to enjoy it once I, you know, I'm getting more and more comfortable. The truth is, you know, you're going to give something a shot. Maybe, you know, I was talking to Dustin, he was saying he tried the vlogging thing. It wasn't for him.
Yeah.
Right? But he didn't know until he tried it, right?
Yeah, so. That's exactly right. You don't know that your favorite food is a baked potato, mm-hmm, until you actually eat it.
Yeah.
You know, and people eliminate oysters and caviar and foie gras and all these, you know, uni and all these, you know, foods that I love that, you know, people don't, they just, like, the amount of people that have told me at dinner, because I order oysters a lot, I'm like, would you like some? And they're like, no, I don't like oysters. And I'm like, have you ever had one? I would say 3 out of 4 had never had it.
I was just going to say I didn't like oysters, but I never really tried them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good oysters from Canada, by the way. You know, it's really real. It's the thought of, I understand, like, you know, I've had some like pretty weird conversations of why people don't like oysters. They're like, the consistency, the look, it all makes sense, but it all goes down to the same thing, which is like, are you fearful to try something or are you fearless?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I just really admire lack of fear. I was watching some kids play basketball yesterday And there's one kid, two teams were a big mismatch, but this one kid like just wasn't scared. And I admire that. I really, it's funny that it caught my attention while I was watching something. Like, it's just awesome. I'm pumped that you're at such a young age that you're starting to like really chip away at it.
Yeah, you know, I can look back and say like, oh, you know, because I wanted to do this for like, you know, 28 now, like last 6 years really, you know, but I was nursing. I used to be a nurse and stuff like that. And then working at other projects and stuff for other people. But I said, you know, I could look back and say like, you know, I've wasted time or say, you know, for all this time ahead of me, right?
That's so, such a little piece of time. I mean, you know, when you're 28, 6 years is a ton. It's fucking 20, you know, it's a ton. It's over 20%. So it feels like a ton. Just like I tell a lot of people like, so obviously you know this because you know my content. I talk so much about patience and everyone loves to make fun of me. Like my favorite comments by far on social media is like, Gary Vee rolls up on a 90-year-old and says, how old are you? They say 90. And he says, you got, and I laugh, but like, you know, it's funny. I get it. When you're 12, a year seems like an eternity. You're like, next year, right? When you're 47, years are flying. I talk, you know, and it's just how the human brain works. So of course, when you're 28, 6 years, like, whoa, it's 20% of your fucking time. Like, yeah. You know, like you felt it, but it's nothing. It's nothing. And like, it's great, especially when, you know, a lot of people don't get to this place until 40, 50, 60. To be, it's why I'm so passionate about making the content I make. If I can get 13 to 33 year olds to understand they haven't started, and regardless of anything that's happened, there's actually a fresh restart, and you can fully, like, you could be miserable and have like, and die at 92 with like a profoundly happy life, because 60 years more in front of you is just 60 years more in front of you. I just really wish people believed it. And so, like, what now? Like, what do you, like, when you go back to analyzing things, like, in dream state, hypothesis, when you were like, okay, I'm gonna be here for, you know, a week, you know, kind of like, did you go into like, I hope I leave with, like, a secret weapon to make your content go viral, a relationship I with think, Gary I that you can rely, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm curious, well, you know, of course, right.
Of course, you know, the relationship with you, hopefully, you know, we also, I don't know if you know, on the garage sale.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
So
that's gonna be just a real, like, yeah, it's almost, you. To your point, like, you can't spend that much, as long as I'm not a piece of shit, you can't spend that much time with a human and not have something, you know?
That was my plan. but no, and then, like, just, you know, little connections, like, with that, that's something I've been terrible at, you know, the lot, I've kind of, you talk about fear, like, I've really just found my comfort zone last 5-6 years and just not really explored out of it. That means like, you know, I haven't been networking and stuff like that. Kind of just been like a hermit.
Yeah, right.
Makes sense, but
on all, well, first of all, COVID was a big chunk. So that like added to the convenience of being a hermit.
Yeah.
That, well, honestly, yeah, that was like two and a half years, you know, but I think about that a lot. Like all of us, even, you know, I am the most extroverted, most network, like most rely on other humans for my energy. And like, I'm like out of practice a little bit. Like I'm like, I don't wanna be out from 8 to midnight doing like things. Like I'm like it's you have to like almost restart in some ways, but no, it's good. Friendships, you know, like intimate relationships, dating, business network, like all humans get so much value out of other humans. Mm-hmm. I think a lot about forced perspective. Like this is why I'm actually really trying to get like it shouldn't take a traumatic experience to have, you know, we do so many things for our bodies. Thank God, like, look, 40 years ago, nobody was going to the gym. Like, actually, nobody. So, you know, like, when I think about that, this is what I look like at 47 years old, like, what I would have looked like if I was born 50 years earlier, like, left to my laurels, I'd be 215, like, it'd be a mess.
Well, I think you started, you know, I'm trying to think back all the content, but you started taking your health more seriously in your 30s, right?
Yeah, late 30s, 38 and a half. I always laugh because it was on a plane where I was like, just thinking, and I was like, you know, things are going well. Like, life's going to be good. Like, this is the vulnerability. Like, I could die from a heart attack at 63. You know, I was like, I know that I'm not doing the right things. And here I am running around the world telling people like, you're doing this wrong in business. And I'm like, Well, you want, like, you know, you want your business to be $1 million after 19 days. That's why you're failing. Same with me. Like, I didn't, I was too logical to know that 19 days in the gym would fix it. I just didn't want to put in the work. It doesn't come down. You know, the big, I would tell you my own journey on health and wellness is why I have confidence in people's journey in business. Nobody, I'm now nine years into this journey, and there's not a single morning I wake up and want to do it. Not one. You know, like, it's funny, I've been playing some basketball lately. I played again this morning. I played yesterday and today. Yesterday was a Sunday, and I woke up at 5:30 in the morning to play basketball. And it's interesting, because that I love, but like, I logically know at 47, it's hard to play basketball. Like, it's, after 40, it's a very dangerous sport.
Game changes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even about the game. It's about like ACLs, like yeah, MCL. Like, problem, yeah. You're so prone in basketball. But it's, but I love it. I'll wake up at 5:30 for it. Whereas like, going to do like a chest day or cardio, like I like those, I've gotten to like it, but like, it still comes so not natural. So, you know, yeah, I think a lot about that. And I think about business, I think about health and wellness. But lately I've been thinking more about perspective practice. Like, we do a lot of practice to like be healthy, eat well, go to the gym. We do a lot of business coaches this. I wonder if, like, I always think about like, what are none of us doing right now that's gonna be a thing in 50 years? I think perspective practice. Like, this, maybe because you're close to my content, like, why I tell people, like, go and visit a retirement home. Like, charity work. Like, right now, today, it's easier for me, back to, like, what you said about time, it's easier today for me to write a check than to go spend a day. Mm-hmm. Right? Like a kitchen that serves people in need, like, one of the, so this year, I've already done more things this year in my personal life, visiting friends that have personal situations that require me visiting them, to check on them, to check in. Already more in the first 23 days of this year than I did all of last year. Wow. Because I decided, I used to say, well, I don't have time to work out. Bullshit. And so now I'm like, you know, I've gotta make time to do this. And so it's almost like perspective training. I'm doing it to be gracious, to provide value for somebody I care about. But there's a subconscious part of me that knows that there's also major deposits being put into me. You do leave with tons of gratitude. And then, you know, I'm hoping to scale that to strangers. Because luckily I'm not in a situation where I have a lot of those in my life. But, you know, I think, I really have been thinking a lot about that. Like, what if once a month, 12 times a year, you go out of your way to be of service with your time to somebody or some group of people in need? That also gives you a real look at, you know, a life that, you know, you're complaining about XYZ, and like, there's people who are terminally ill. I've gotten a point in my career where, you know, a lot of people are DMing me with like make a wish like scenarios. Literally this week in my DM, I'm so glad I made the video. I'm so glad I saw it. I'm so glad I made the video. And the guy who was sick's friend reached out to me and said I was an inspiration for this guy. And the gentleman passed. And just like fucking like 35 years old. You know, and it's just like, I just struggle worrying about money or reputation, though I care way more about my reputation than money, or like anything, when you just know this is happening every day, and things are happening every day.
Yeah, it's, I saw something on Twitter, like, it hit me really hard last week, or the week before, that some guy, like, just said, you know, basically, like, I'm signing off, you know, like, I guess he was battling with something terminal, and no one knew about it. I didn't even follow the guy, I don't know who he was, but just I'm signing off, you know, it's been a great, you know, loving everyone, like, you know, and it's like, I only have like a few days left or something like that.
And I need to like spend it with my family.
Yeah.
It's just like, and it bothers me. It's one of those things that like, I think a lot about like fear. Like, you were scared to kiss a girl or a guy. You were scared to ride a bike. I was petrified of swimming. I didn't start swimming until I was 9. only because my sister started swimming at 6, and I heard like my mom be like, Liz, she's swimming. And I like was playing knock hockey at the pool club and literally ran and jumped in the pool and tried to make pretend I was swimming at the same time as my sister. Thank God for my competitive juices. But like, I think people fear a lot of things that are mundane in real life, and then like they just seem so simple. Like ever being scared to ride a bike or kiss someone or have sex or, you know, swim or ride a bike, like they become so standard. And I think a lot about that lately, first time, last 5 years of the reverse, which is like, you can only start being appreciative or grateful when something bad happens, and we have to find a way to change that.
Yeah.
I think I'm so happy because that's not what's happening for me. I actually wake up on a gloomy Monday like this and being like, boom, another fucking day that nothing atrocious happened. Let's go. I really believe that. And it gets really, I think it's why I have such a capacity to do so many things. It's not because I have like more energy, though I have high energy. It's not that I'm like so much more talented. I have put in the reps and have the talent. It's that I'm just not scared. And so that doesn't drag me down. Mm-hmm. Tough to do a podcast if you're scared of it.
Yeah, and that's for me, you know, like, you talk about like, I look back, I think I've heard you speak about this too, you know, during like teenage years and girls and stuff.
Yeah.
I look back now, like, I'm like, why was I scared of that?
Yeah, like, why didn't I ask Mary out?
Yeah, and if I look back in 25, 30 years, I'll be like, why didn't I start the podcast?
That's why I focus so much on 20, 30-year-olds and even 40-year-olds, I would say, because they have, you know, 13-year-olds, because of TikTok, I have a very young crew, they don't have context. Mm-hmm. But what you just said is everything to me. Like, think about the people that didn't go to the college that they wanted to, didn't ask out the person that they want. I mean, I literally have active knowledge of friends who still are like depressed they didn't ask somebody out 25 years ago. Like, it just bothers them. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, cool, no time machines. You're actively doing that right now with this. You've been saying that you want to move out of New Jersey your whole life. The fuck are you doing in New Jersey? I love Jersey, by the way. Like, don't clip that inappropriately, but like, like, I don't want to hear from friends who are like, I want to move to a warmer weather place. I want to move to a warmer weather place. I want to move to a warmer. And then equally, they're spending all their time saying, I wish in high school. I'm like, you're doing it like cool. You're not going back to high school and being able to do that. But right now, you've been saying for 4 years that you're going to move to a warmer weather place. Not asking out Mary is the same thing as not moving to fucking Florida or Texas or Arizona or whatever fucking is on your mind. No. It's a big deal. And that is why, because they do know. You can recall just, you're 28, you can recall 12 years ago like a piece of cake and be like, fuck, I wish I. Because people don't want rejection.
Yeah, well, it's the fear, right?
Made fun of, or like looking bad in front of your boys, and like, ha ha, like, it's funny, I have a friend who's got an eighth grader who asked a girl out and it kind of went, it botched, but not bad. As a matter of fact, I think they just went on a date, so I'm super pumped for him. And all his boys made fun of him, and he just looked at them all and said, like, at least I had the balls to ask someone out. And I was like, that's it. Nate, who now runs my foundation, who's my partner in Empathy Wines. We played tennis a bunch a couple summers ago, and I beat him in all 6-7 matches. We only played one set. And in two of those matches, he was up 5-2. And I came all the way back and won 7-5. And for like the next 2 years, I would razz him. Like, we would have so many meetings. He was my chief of staff. So we would have all these meetings, and it would have, there'd be no segue for me to bring it up, but I just wanted to bring it up. And finally, and you know, I'm his guy, like, you know, I'm the boss. Like, I get why he wouldn't say anything. And I finally grabbed him. I was like, hey, the next time I say this, I want you to look at me and say, what's your handicap? Because he's a scratch golfer. Scratch. And it was funny, between me telling you that story and telling you about my friend's son, that's how I think about eliminating the lack of the fear of the judgment of your rejection. Most people are actually not scared of the girl saying no. They're scared that their boys are gonna make fun of them for the girl saying no. And like, what I want the world to realize is like, when your boys do that, when your older brother does that, when your mom does that, you just call them on their, like, if the kids of the world knew that when their mom or dad is shitting on them, that they could just take a step back, dodge that punch, and go directly at something that their parents have done horribly, it would actually settle it. It would make them take more risk. They, like, cool, mom, you're shitting on me, but what about when this happened for you? Like, you have to you don't have to punch back nasty. You just have to push back. In context, it would work for people. That's what makes me not scared. That if any of the three of you knew me my whole life and were like, man, I'm like, what about that time you did that? Like, I don't understand, right? It's also why I don't think I'm special, right? Like, yeah, okay, I'm good at making money in business. I genuinely, to the core of my self-being, don't think that's a big deal. It means it's just something I do. Some people are just handsome. Some people can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour. Some people are just very gracious guidance. Like, everyone's got stuff, everyone's got strengths and weaknesses, and we just have to have that combo. And for you, like, the reason I'm going so hard at this subject matter over this time together is the fact that you're really like starting to do it, I'm just trying to be like harder, more.
Because I know I'm self-aware enough to know about myself that that's all I need. It's just a big kick in the ass.
And if you actually realize, I'll tell you how you're about to go fast. If you don't beat yourself up for the last 20, somebody who's self-aware, what they'll do is be like, it's almost like, cool, you've now acknowledged that, never think or talk about it again. Like, don't spend any energy on it.
Just be a weight, just,
yeah. Yeah, because a lot of people are like, I love watching people make progress who struggle to make progress in whatever we're talking about, then decide when they've got a little taste of things are going well, how quickly they'll let the old behavior seep back in. Oh, I'm looking at you for a reason. That's exactly what I see in you in such a fun way. Like, that, I'm almost like, you know, knowing you're in a room, I'm almost saying this for you. Like, I see it. And it's cool because it means you're halfway home. You did the new thing, which established this better energy. That's like foreign to begin with. It's like, whoa, I might be changing, evolving. But it's so cliche to then like be like, yeah, like really I'm this. And like this was a good moment, or for you, like, oh, when I'm around Gary, it's like that. But it's like, it's not. It's like, you just have to realize this thing is actually dead, but it takes like a few minutes to go into that full place.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, like last week, first time, like, you know, posting a video, like putting my face out
there. It's,
like,
huge. You
know, it's something it's small huge. For it's so many, but for me.
You brother, know. You want to hear something insane? It's not. You want to hear something funny? The smaller group is the ones that are putting their face. The silent majority that's not posting their face is much bigger than people like me. That's where it got it?
Yeah.
Notice how that combo just went? Hey, it seems like a small, I know it's small for so many people, but I put my face on it? No. Most people don't put their face on it.
Kind of like the iceberg, you know?
It's all that. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Because you can't see, it's back to how I talk about happiness. Everyone's like, the world sucks. I'm like, no. The negative people are just loud right now. Until positive people get louder, you won't understand the complex. You won't understand the context. You won't understand the math. I can't be such an enigma. I need more people that are positive to get loud like I do. Which is like, what about this good thing? What about this good thing? What about this opportunity?
I definitely understand all that. Unfortunately, you know, the negativity in media or anywhere, it's amplified so much, it spreads so much faster and louder, right? But
there's also so much more volume of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty viral. Like, there's plenty of room for people that sell love for virality. Like, there's a real path to it, you know? Just gotta be louder, more people. And it's like, those people are iconic, and I'm not even like in that conversation, but there's millions of me out there. They just haven't, they're so selfish in their happiness. My biggest problem is negativity wants to be viral. People wanna drag people down to their unhappiness. I believe when I analyze, when I talk to myself about like, what are you doing? What I'm interested in is my generosity of the positivity. I notice all the people I've come across in life that are like me, just keep to themselves and enjoy their happiness. I'm willing to take the fucking arrows and all the shit that comes along with putting yourself out there for the purpose of positivity. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot more happy people have to take on that challenge.
Yeah, that's, I've thought of it like that. That's it's almost like you're doing like a noble. Because I the reason I'm identifying is because I can see myself a little bit like that. You know, like I can see like I'm kind of like one of those people. You know that.
Well,
I,
it's probably what attracted you to me, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could see
agree
it.
With everything you're saying, like you know.
It's why you're pushing yourself.
Yeah.
It's why you're pushing yourself. It's cool. If that's your engine, then you're really gonna have a good time at this.
Yeah.
Like for me. I think a lot of people do what I do for a living for the money and the fame. For me, it's for the satisfaction that I didn't live life selfishly. That is great joy for me. I really enjoy it. I've had to find my own balance in that because what it, for me as someone who loves to give, what I do is when I don't communicate with the people I'm giving love to, well, it leads to resentment. I've had to be on a reverse journey of most people. But it's a big opportunity. Yeah. That's a really noble mission. It's you'll always have energy for it. When you do it for the money and the fame, you will run out of gas. Yeah. When you do it because you feel like you want to leave a positive deposit, you'll do it to the end.
Yeah, again, just going back to, you know, thinking of 80, 90, that's what I've been thinking about lately is like, you know, what do I, because that seems to be the only, you know, that's something kind of to get kick me in the gear is like, well, death, you're going to die. So when you do die, do you want to be able to look back and say like what did you leave like the world with, right? What was your lasting impression? Did you just do nothing or a hermit or were you negative or did you leave, you know, with a bunch of positivity?
Right, positive, neutral, or negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now I'm neutral. You know.
But you're not because you've already started the positive journey, which is huge.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to Dustin earlier, like, it's once, you know, like a train, once I get going, like I can feel it, like.
The momentum.
The game plan, the strategy. I mean, the individual creatives, yeah, those always need tweaking, but the strategy, you know, I just tell people, just follow like, what you say. It's just so simple, just the volume. Volume is going to dominate, right? I do obsess a little bit over quality, but.
I do too, but I think quality is subjective.
Yeah.
Quality is subjective. What Dustin thinks is a quality BMX video is not something I even want to consider watching, let alone beginning to judge if it is. If you're not interested in buying things at garage sales and selling them on eBay, trash talk is very low quality. Meanwhile, thousands of people have emailed me that it's the thing that got them to get clearing debt or creating a nice family vacation. That is massive value. When the two themes of trash talk are I cleared debt, oh my God, I can't believe it, by buying t-shirts and trinkets and mugs at garage sales, or my family had a nicer vacation this year. Both of those are profoundly top 15 things in life. But if you're not interested, the reason I always love volume is the numbers is not a debate. If you post 19 times a week versus four, you've posted 19 times versus four. This concept of like, well, my four are quality and your 19 aren't, Gary, that's insecurity and ego debating with me, not truth. If that, like, we don't have a universal quality guide. Like, there's too much interest and intrigue and too many nuances, you know, and so. Somebody said to me that I know pretty well, that's of my age. He's like, Gary, I gotta really cut social out. It's just like a complete waste for me. And I'm like, cool, brother, but I know you and what you were doing in that same time was just watching TV, which is fine. Not negative or positive. You know, one could argue that you have way more control over your algorithm. For example, one thing I'm fascinated about, I have to make a piece of content about this. I've completely changed my algorithms. I just decided that I wanted to see a lot more business news because I'm making a lot more green screens, right? And so like, instead of spending time, this is so funny. You know how people are like, social media is a waste of time? I just made social media a time efficient machine for me. I and the team look for headlines for me to make content to talk about. When the team's sharing stuff, what they think is good, and a lot of times like it works and a lot of times it doesn't work. Like I'm like, I'm not into that, I don't wanna talk about that. So I've put it on myself. So in a lot in the last 30, 40 days, 60 days, I'm like spending 10, 15 minutes looking for headlines and like news. That's a lot of time in my life right now where I'm at. And then I realized like, wait a minute, I'm just gonna follow like 50 accounts on Instagram and TikTok that I looked at their accounts and I'm like, this is exactly the kind of imagery that I would do a headline against. And let me just follow, and like now it's coming to me. I changed my entire algorithm. Everyone's like, the algorithm, the other. The algorithm just wants you to stay on. So if you show the algorithm that you want, so like literally the number one hack for everyone in the world that claims they're unhappy with social is to go to the search bar on TikTok or Instagram and search the subject matters they think are bringing them value, follow 50 accounts, like their content the first time they show up, and your whole algo will change.
It's the fact when you keep dwelling on that negative stuff, keep consuming it, you know, of course it's just gonna keep
worse. Like, if you're gonna rubberneck to car crashes, you're gonna be upset. If that's all you do. I think there's a profound, like, this goes back to self-accountability. When I was growing up, it was all bashing TV. Kids are watching too much TV. Kids are watching too much TV. Kids are watching too much TV. It's just this, it's the way the world turns. Yeah, it's been really interesting changing my algo. It's been good. Yeah. Very efficient.
I saw you posted something too about sometimes you, I thought it was funny. Sometimes you really try to mess it up. You know, you'll search like pickles or stuff like that.
Yeah, but, just to like learn.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, I think social media is like a wild horse. You know, either you're going to figure out how to tame it and work for you, or it's going to run wild and like be a bull in a china shop. Like, it's bullfighting. Either you can tame it or you are going to get pierced by it. And I think that's on the person, because every person can delete the app. I hate this thing. Delete.
Yeah.
Discipline.
Yeah. No, that's good insight.
It's really interesting, but like definitely for learning. Like, it's, I'm really actually like feel like I'm more on top of shit right now because of the way my feed is going.
In terms of?
I'm just seeing a lot of like I'm by nature am like a very good entrepreneur, but like I'm not a macro or micro economist.
Right.
So like I'm not like with what's going on with the recession or potential recession or whatever people want to call it, the global economy, like I'm enjoying the headlines I'm getting, and then what I'm doing is, you know, social is very fast, so I'll see a headline of like, this is, you know, the US may default. I'm like, what is that? Like, I'm not like I know the title, but then like because I saw it in the feed and because it was Sunday afternoon, and instead of like sitting down and reading a book, you know, it's amazing. Reading a book on a Sunday afternoon with like a nice cup of tea or glass of wine, that seems like very classy. Being on your phone seems like, right? But like for me, it was like, boom, to then Google, to then like, and like, I was getting, I'm like in school.
Yeah.
But it's on my phone.
No, I know, it's.
People are judging the medium instead of what you're doing inside of it.
You know, I started and I was really like my, you know, if you want to look at, judge a page by its success on views, you know, on TikTok, of course, I was really going well. There was like some crypto stuff I was covering, like, you know, kind of educating people what was going on. Broke my leg, kind of felt, you know, the pain only lasted so long. Then I fell out of, like, you know, that.
You got out of rhythm.
The fear came back in and stuff like that.
Break down the fear for me for 5 seconds for fun.
I think it's just.
What people think?
Yeah.
And was that a cultural thing? Was that a family thing? Like, I think, for example, I'll give you an example. I'm incredibly private. Mm-hmm. People are confused by that when I say it, but like, I don't share my personal life and never have. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a family history thing because my family grew up in the Soviet Union, and the only way you survived in the Soviet Union was by privacy.
Yeah.
Everyone was scared.
Yeah.
If somebody tattletaled on you, and the government would put you in jail or worse. So for generations, my family's like, you know, you don't talk about anything.
So that's interesting. So you're saying that that mindset you developed there, that was more from how you were raised instead of, I always thought that was just you were sheltering your family, like your personal stuff from the public, you know, or maybe a bit of both there.
I think it was naturally in me to be private. And then I think I quickly understood that I had it. Like, I remember vividly being a year into Wine Library TV and being like, oh, like a lot of people may know who I am one day.
Yeah.
Like knowing that there was more. And so I feel like I consciously knew that it would be a good thing to protect that. But that wasn't that was the number two thing. The number one thing was my whole life I've been private. It's my natural state. I don't want to, you know, it's very funny. It's very empathetic, by the way. One of the reasons I'm private is that I don't want other people to have to worry about me. My biggest weakness up to this point in my life is the inability to be vulnerable. I just don't want to put baggage on people. People have their own, it's also my greatest gift. In a world where I know most people are struggling with shit, and really, the things that I struggle with are like it's just shocking to me how little ability I have to dwell on my biggest concerns. The thought that anything lasts a day is profound.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast with you and Stephen Bartlett.
Yes.
about the, you know, how long. He said it was very, very rare for it to make it to the next morning, so.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, no like business stuff is ever, like the things that go are like the people you care about and things of that nature, but even those by standards of like knowing people. So that's another reason why I struggle with like, you know, going there. It's like, there's really not, you know, that really, like, my mom is like really the person that I'm wired like, but like, it's your mom. I don't, like, anything I'm worried about is she's gonna worry about it 10 times more. So that's like not, this is why therapy is so profoundly important for people. Like, you know, it just, it's an outlet. And like a lot of people use their friends, but then they're dragging their friends down. You know, like if you're inherently like, if you're inherently struggling, you need to get that poison out. But, you know, people get it, right? Like if they're doing that with their best friend, they'll watch their relationship with their best friend deteriorate based on that, because no human, no matter how fucking empathetic they are, is really like gonna be drawn to, you know, rain and frowns 24 hours, like, right? And so like, I've been thinking, and then I think a lot about the cost of therapy. So that's been a huge one for me lately. I'm like, okay, cool. Gary's on a podcast and be like, go do therapy. All right, who the fuck has like, I don't know, you know, 100, I don't know what the pricing is. But I'm sure you could, I'm sure there's online things, but like, there's just like, just think about like new alternatives to get it. Like, so one thing I've been very fascinated by, back to like where you went, like I've been thinking a lot about this concept of, I said it earlier, what are people gonna do in 50 years that nobody does now? One of my hot takes is one of the things humans are gonna do is go into the woods and just like yell it out. I'm not kidding. I'm like really hot on this. You know how like weird trends start? Like, you know, like diets or like fads or like, like, you know, everything from veganism to carnivore to CrossFit. Like, I really think yelling and getting shit out is really good. Breathing, the breathing thing's really interesting to me. Like, one of my favorite things is on my text thing to just send a text and be like, just take a deep, deep, deep breath and physically smile. I am fascinated by what people send me back. And I know this to be true because I do it. I've been doing it more. Like, I've been like trying to figure out that more and more for me. I'm very interested in it.
Just kind of taking a pause in this.
Well, it's just like, it seemed like, again, when you get F's in science and you haven't done the homework like I haven't, I'm intrigued by all the headlines and the conversation in popular culture about the values of breathing, and like seemingly without any education on this, I feel intuitive that it's right because I'm on the receiving end of it. I just think a lot of people just, they're just a little, like, again, it's how my brain works. It's how trash talk started. Hey, you should invest in companies like I did. Cool, who's got $25,000 to fucking throw it? Like, you know, like I was risk tolerant to do that. It's not like I even had that much, because at the time I had so little money, but I was just like okay with like that risk. Most people aren't. So it led to like, okay, fine, I'll teach you how to buy things for a dollar and sell for 13. And same with this, like I really want people to start doing more therapy. Oh shit, a lot of people who listen can't for a million different reasons, financially, taboo in their family, like they can't get through the taboo. Okay, well maybe breathing is it. And like breathing is fucking free.
It's simple.
It's fucking simple. Like I'll do it right now and feel like I actually feel something. Like it's really fascinating to me. Like I genuinely feel less pressure. Like I don't know, it really calms this. I mean, I know there's incredible science behind this truth, but like I just want that to be as real as working out. I believe more people wake up and do an hour workout a day than people take a deep breath with purpose to reset their anxiety level. I believe that to be true. I could be wrong, but that's my gut feeling on what's going on, and like that's the stuff that excites me. And I just think like in New York City, so much stress, like driving an hour to Jersey or Long Island or somewhere close, going into the woods and just like saying all the things you wish you could say to like people, no different than therapy. I have this weird feeling it's gonna become a thing because I think people wanna be outside more, this, that, like those are things, whether that becomes a thing or not, though, that's how I like to create ideas.
In terms of technology, people say, oh, technology's bad. I'm just really optimistic on technology. Like, not just obviously Web3 and stuff.
You're talking about like artificial intelligence and all that.
That's a good one. That's
right. Everyone's like, this is going to ruin everything. Right. I'm like, that's what you said about tractors. That's what you said about the TV.
It's just that the ability to improve everyone's lives so much.
You can focus. The amount of humans that can be able to focus on something more productive, not to mention what nobody's talking about, like with ChatGPT, right? Mm. This is so bad. I'm like, it's teaching critical thinking. You have to still tell the machine. It's like search engines. Like when I first started using search engines, I was bad at it. Mm-hmm. I was like,
no assistant.
Right. It was like wine. And then later it's like, you know, where are the wine? You know, same with this. Like right now with all the AI, people are like, write a paper for me about this. Later it's going to be like, okay, write this paper about Lord of the Flies in the voice of a saint from the 1500s with a cynical point of view to Birdie's situation. Like, it becomes critical thinking. For me, as someone who's creative and likes to see different angles, it's gonna be profound.
For creators especially. It's like, even myself, you know, I was talking to Dustin about content, like, do you edit? I'm like, I do simple editing, but I don't mind doing it, but I don't like, in the moment, I don't like editing because I'm thinking like, oh, I could be spending this time doing, you know, coming up with content or something, right? I was telling about a few tools out there. You know, obviously people have heard like ChatGPT and DALL-E, some of these images. But I think it's gonna be really cool. You know, I think video, like I'm really big on it. I think video is like the most liked medium for consumer content.
The big concern I have is with deepfake.
Yeah.
I believe that video proof has been the judge and jury of our society for the last 70 years.
Yeah, that's
and
a tricky one.
Yeah, I'm really worried about that. Could you imagine the bad guys being able to be like, that video's not true?
I saw one, and like it took me, I think it was like Elon something, and it took me like it took me like probably 10 seconds at least to like, and I only could tell, it wasn't really because the face and the voice weren't lining up, it was just what he was saying. I was like, no, it didn't make sense. But it's good. It's scary good.
Oh no, I fully believe that in 46 months there'll be unlimited videos of me saying things that I've never said. Unlimited.
What's your, because to your point, you know, video testimonials.
I would argue that it is the most challenging debate I have in my mind, that almost everything up until this point in my life I've had like shocking clarity and on like the whatever, and it became true, that this one is hard for me. That I think there has to be a counter technology.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like a badge, like something like, you know, you have like, obviously I'm trying to simplify it. Like
it may lead to a shocking amount of live video. I've been thinking a lot about, like, what if this goes so awry that nobody believes it? Am I gonna be like live all the time and be like proving that I'm live and like, you know? It's wild.
But overall, like optimistic on technology and then its ability to improve all of our lives.
That's just been proven. Like, you don't want penicillin, you don't want x-ray machines, you don't want, like, it's just like, the conversation's so cliche human fear.
And the best is when I see older generations, my grandparents had an iPad before I even got one.
Interesting.
And it's, you know, and not them in particular, but you know, you hear some of the older generations, you know, technology's bad, you know, we didn't have this when I was growing up, but we were all better for it. But you know, the amount of times I see people on their phones, just playing, like older generation, playing a game or on Facebook or something, and it's you can tell, like, they're doing it for, they're choosing to spend their time on that. Like, it's obviously giving them value, it's improving their life, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, do you know how many people, you know how many 89-year-olds are lonely in retirement homes that have gotten tremendous value of using the internet and social media? You know how many families, like, would go and visit their great-grandparent in the home once a year, and now they're able to keep up with them through FaceTime and social and texting. I mean, these are profound technologies.
Yeah.
Profound.
Thank you so much for listening to that entire episode. We want to remind you to give Gary feedback, so make sure you tweet him at Gary V. But if you're listening on Spotify, you can drop your comments, questions, and anything in between in the Spotify Q&A section down below. We'll see you in the next episode.